Let's Get Local is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
It's time for the Dane by Local radio show, Let's Get Local. Each week, we are your connection to local as we talk with leaders of area businesses, nonprofits, and government. There are so many amazing people and organizations in our community, so let's get into it. Let's get local.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back for another Saturday show of Let's Get Local. Look, we live in this world, we live in this country, we understand there's a lot going on right now, and you've heard a lot of talk already this morning. Great show with Jim Santel, Morning Cannolis. But our program is going to bring the attention back here, back to our state, back to our local area, and highlight those stories, highlight those organizations, the businesses, Dane by Local, the work of that group as well. Today, that's what we're going to focus on for the next hour. So take a break from all that other stuff that's pretty heavy and weighing on you right now, and let's learn about some inspiring and really important organizations and things that are happening right here in our community. And I'm really pleased to catch up with Kurt Fazar this morning, to be joined by Kurt. Kurt, there's birds. You look like a great setting. I'm not sure how things are going there at home, but man, I'm glad to talk to you today about Reach a Child and some of your activities with Dane by Local. How are you, Kurt?
Hey, I'm doing well, Jason. And if you don't mind, we want to make sure that the sound is coming through okay.
Oh, yeah, we've got you, Kurt.
Okay, great. Yeah.
So, Kurt, you are the executive director of Reach a Child. You and I met through Dane by Local. Tell people about Reach a Child. Give people an overview of what the organization is.
Well, very happy to, Jason, and thanks for the opportunity to come back and join your listeners for another session. We started 15 years ago by providing children's books and backpacks to the first responders in Middleton, and that community was chosen because a wonderful husband and wife team had the idea, and they thought, we live in Middleton, we'd like to support our Middleton community and our Middleton first responders. So they gathered up the children's books that they had used for their family over the years, took them to the police department, told them that perhaps they could use these books to comfort children that the police officers encounter in crisis situations. And it was very well received, and it inspired them to maybe reach out a little bit further from just their own home to their neighborhood, to their community. And as the weeks and months went on, they were now gathering books and providing them to multiple first responder departments across Dane County. So again, that was 15 years ago, and we've continued that journey. I guess a couple of milestones that I'll share. Number one is 2012. So the organization had been operating pretty much out of their garage for 5 years. I met Paul and Chris Gilbertson, the founders. I teamed up with a few other folks, and we put a board of directors in place, we put the governance template in place, and then the organization, you know, really had some traction as well as some framework. And since then, Jason, we have been expanding the network to all reaches of the state of Wisconsin. Another milestone I'll just share with you is that Paul and Chris moved to Colorado some years later. I've had the honor of serving, as you mentioned, as executive director for the last 6 years. So it's really been a blessing. And we've been asked to go to, I guess now 10 different states. We've been asked to have this program in Australia. Unfortunately, we've had to turn them down. We're, you know, it's a small organization, a small nonprofit, and we're doing what we can to support every community across Wisconsin.
Wow, Kurt, that's incredible news. And you know, it's something interesting too, when you when you start something, you never know what it could become. I mean, a lot of us have visions and big ideas for what things could become, but you're never quite sure. And to see, you know, how it's grown, the longevity of the organization, the impact it's had, and then also understand the people in other countries are interested in that. That's pretty amazing and remarkable. So congrats on that, and kudos to the whole team.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jason. And, you know, it has grown very nicely. We're distributing over 20,000 new children's books to first responders every year. And we're, again, working really hard to get to every community across Wisconsin. There is a selfish component to all this, though, and let me tell you what I mean. We provide these children's books to the first responders, and that could be the county sheriff. It could be the police, fire, EMS, state patrol, whomever. And they have these backpacks in their vehicles filled with new children's books. When they go to the scene of an incident, it might be a house fire, it might be a car accident, a domestic issue, something like that. If there are children present, they will take the children or the child into a safe place. They'll open up the backpack filled with books, invite the child to choose one that they read together. And it's now comforting the child to be with that first responder, to be looking at the book and just feeling as though the world is now a better place than it was 10 minutes ago or 30 minutes ago. In addition, the child is distracted from whatever, you know, that bad thing is. So the source of the trauma, the source of the crisis is no longer in full view. The child is focused on the book, which is one reason, for instance, why we do not use stuffed animals. They comfort children. They do not distract them from the source of the crisis. But the selfish component here, Jason, is I don't sleep well at night knowing that there are so many communities across Wisconsin that do not yet have our program. Most of the first responders in Dane County are using our children's books and backpacks. That's great. Surrounding counties, many of them, but it's tough to get the awareness and ultimately the resources out across the entire state. It's taken us 15 years to get to this point, and we're probably only about half of the way across Wisconsin with regard to the departments that we're serving. So I won't sleep well until we get to the point where every community has our books and backpacks.
Well, it's a great goal, Kurt, and I know you're going to get there. You know, already the way things have been distributed and grown, I know you've had a lot of connection and contact, and it starts on a local level, right? So you need to make those connections on a local level. So if we have any listeners out there, anyone hears this or sees this, you know, contact your local authorities and find out if Reach a Child is in your community. Because Kurt, you and I have talked about how can we get into some of these other places, the importance of it. The program works. The program's great. You talk about the impact it has. And, you know, you also mentioned to me before, tell people a little bit about what this not only does for the children, but what it also does at the scene and for the emergency responders that are on site. It helps them too.
It does, Jason. We have a board of directors, volunteer folks that do amazing work for the organization. And I love them all dearly. We also have an advisory council. That advisory council is comprised primarily of first responders. And up until about a year ago, one of those advisory council members was Madison Police Chief Mike Koval. And Mike has always been a big ambassador of the Reach a Child program. And he talks often about how roughly half of his sworn officers are not parents. And so if you can imagine, you're going to the scene, there's some troubling issues going on, and there's a child, and the child is no doubt having the worst day of his or her life. What do you do? You know, it'd be tough for any police officer, any first responder to encounter a situation like that, but they do it each and every day, of course. But if you do not have the parenting skills and experience, it can represent a really special challenge. And so those men and women, in particular, appreciate the fact that they can grab that backpack, open it up, and the child then chooses the book that they read together. And, you know, it's so gratifying, whether or not you have the parenting experience or not, it's so gratifying to be able to take that child from a highly emotional, highly frightened state and quickly convert them to a behavior pattern that is calming and in many cases comforting and happy. So it really does provide an important tool for the first responders. Middleton Fire Chief Aaron Harris says it is the most important tool that they have in his department. And ultimately, those first responders just feel better about doing their job when they can provide those kind of solutions.
We're talking with Executive Director at Reach a Child, Kurt Fazard. The website is reachachild.org. So much information on the website. Kurt, we're going to talk a little bit more here on the other side of the break in the next segment to you about some recent developments. But I know one key item, in addition to all the good that you're doing, getting distribution out to more communities, things like that, is support. So talk about some of your supporters, how Reach a Child is funded, and how people can help.
Oh, thank you. I speak from my most recent experiences. And earlier this week, there was a large executive meeting of the AT&T leadership team. They came in from all over the country. And the regional president said, I want us to do something as a team. And they decided that they were going to fill 75 backpacks, Reach a Child backpacks, with the new children's books and the other items that we put into them. So that's how they spent part of their day on this executive retreat. It was amazing. And then the next day, a group of retirees from AT&T came to our warehouse and put labels on books and put the books on the shelves and things like that. In addition to all that, they have provided amazing financial support. So that's one example of, in this case, a great corporate partner. But we have individuals that contribute money, contribute volunteer time, gather up the books that their children are no longer using and provide them to us. So it really runs the gamut with regard to what people have done for us. And I would just say, Jason, our greatest need right now, just simply because we are providing so many books to so many departments, is we would like to get more children's books to replenish our inventory.
We are talking with Executive Director Kurt Fazard over at Reach a Child. Much more to come here in the second segment with Kurt. But again, look up more information about the organization too after this interview. Anytime you have time to hop online, just go ahead and head to reachachild.org. So much great info there about the organization, the people involved. And we're going to talk with Kurt a little bit here in the next segment more about how Reach is growing and the reach of Reach a Child and where we hope to get to. So all of that coming up here in just a little bit on Let's Get Local. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with Kurt Fazard right after this. Back here at the studio, the Solidarity Realty Studios here on University Avenue. You're listening to Devil Radio 92.7 FM, 1580 AM. Also, maybe checking out the stream at devilradio927.com or the Facebook Live video. Or maybe you've downloaded the app, the self-proclaimed greatest app ever, the Devil Radio app, easy for Wisconsinites to download and use, just as Brian has told you many times on this this station, these airwaves all the time. You also maybe have heard about that on the walk radio stations as well. So check them out there at 5:40 a.m. and also those locations over in Waukesha. So we're back with Kurt Fazard, the executive director at Reach a Child. Kurt, some exciting news. We talked about, you know, wanting to get into all the communities around Wisconsin, but you're making some progress. Tell us about some of the recent developments with Reach a Child.
Yeah, thanks again, Jason. And I'm actually going to take us back to about a year ago when I had the opportunity to spend time with you and your listeners. And it was kind of in the middle to latter stages of COVID. Many of the first responder departments were still reluctant to welcome the public into their facilities. And it was a challenge to support them the way that we had been used to prior to the health crisis. That's all changed. And in addition, the first responders, not only are they welcoming us and welcoming the public, they're really working very, very hard to engage the communities that they support. And there are a variety of reasons for this, of course, but they have found that the Reach a Child resources, the children's books and the backpacks and the other ways that we support first responders are very, very valuable. And we have a huge pipeline with regard to first responder departments that would like these resources. And Jason, we're already supporting 300 first responder departments. And so lots more work to do. But recently we made a large delivery to the La Crosse Police Department. While there, we were in a conversation with the police department on campus there at UW-La Crosse. They were not aware of Reach a Child. They asked if we could support them, and we absolutely did, courtesy of our board vice president, Stephanie Hayden, who has a daughter attending UW-La Crosse. Last week, Monday, we headed to Bayfield County. Bayfield County, the sheriff wanted a backpack for each of his 23 vehicles. From there, we traveled to Ashland. The police department welcomed us, and we provided 9 backpacks. The fire department there in Ashland has now 7 backpacks. And from here, we're going to head to Fond du Lac, 31 vehicles in the department. So we'll provide a backpack to each one of them, for each one of those vehicles. On over to Jackson, the police department, and then Grafton, their police department. Jason, the most exciting news I want to share with you, though, is July 19th, we're going to head to Milwaukee. And they have a total of 280 vehicles. As of the end of day on July 19th, every single one of those vehicles will have a backpack with new children's books. And that's other than the State Patrol, which has 550 vehicles, this will be our largest delivery in the 15-year history of the organization.
Oh, that's fantastic news, Kurt. Love to hear that. And the fact that, you know, you can help out kids in the Milwaukee Metro too. Is the Reachmobile going to be bringing those books over? How are they getting there?
they sure are. And I'm going to say, I'll bring us back locally here, Jason, that August 2nd and 3rd will be the days when various communities here in Dane County host their National Night Out event. And that is really something special. We will be attending everyone that we can. Verona will be hosting an event on the 2nd of August, along with the Dane County law enforcement personnel, and Middleton on the 3rd of August will have their national night out, as will Madison over at the Mallard Stadium. And there are other communities here in Dane County that will be celebrating and welcoming the public for their national night out events. We will be, again, present at most, if not all of them. But that is a wonderful way to engage with your local first responders and have fun, and the community comes out and supports them. And we just encourage everybody to find out when the National Night Out event is happening in your community and join them if at all possible.
So awareness is obviously really important, Kurt, but the other part again is, so you mentioned before, you need more books to grow and expand, and also financial support is important. People can help out. What are the easiest ways for them to get involved with Reach a Child and support the mission?
If those that are interested can go to the website, there will be 2 ways to support us. One would be the donation template, and then also information with regard to book donations. You will you'll see our office address, and you can make arrangements to have books shipped directly through the Amazon Smile program to our location there on Watts Road in Madison. Also want to mention, though, that many of our local supporters and promoters reach out to me directly. My contact information is also on the website. And we can arrange to pick up books from someone's home or business or organization, whatever the case may be. So we really want to make it as easy as possible for folks that are looking to support Reach a Child and ultimately support the first responders in their community.
Again, the website, reachachild.org, doing some great things for more than 15 years now with Kurt Fazard, the executive director. Kurt, before we let you go, I got to mention also that you are the board president of Dane by Local, and you've been so active and helpful with that organization. Tell us a little bit about DBL and what you see for that here the rest of the year.
That's been a lot of fun, Jason. It really has. I've been a part of Dane by Local as a member and ultimately then as a board member. And as you say, currently serving as the board president. But the organization has a singular focus, and that is to make our, not make our communities, but to maintain our communities as vibrant and exciting and nurturing and just a great place to live. And the way that we do that is to help our small businesses. I think it's the foundation for successful communities when you have thriving small businesses. And so if we can help them with regard to education, connections, advocacy, whatever the case may be, we're gonna do it. And that's what makes it so fun, so rewarding. And ultimately we all benefit because our communities are stronger.
Kurt, thanks so much for spending the first half of the show with me today. That is Kurt Fizard, Executive Director over at Reach a Child, Board President with Dane by Local. Again, learn more about Reach a Child at reachachild.org. Contact Kurt, get behind it, and provide those books and backpacks to our first responders. Thanks so much, Kurt. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
We'll be back here on the other side of the break. We'll talk with Francine Tompkins about some art in the community. And welcome back to the big show. Let's Get Local here for you again, the last Saturday of June, June 25th. Glad to be back. Great conversation with Kurt Fizard, Executive Director of Reach a Child here during the first half of the program. I appreciate Kurt's time so much and also his friendship and just everything that's getting to work with him on the Dane by Local board. It's been so much fun and so rewarding. Speaking of Dane by Local, we're going to talk with Megan here last segment, but before we get to that, we have to talk some art. And I was able to catch up with Francine Tompkins here this week, and she had a lot to tell us about 14 South Artists. So let's learn more. And right now we get to talk with 14 South Artists and learn all about them because Francine is with us now to talk about 14 South Artists. Francine, tell us about this wonderful art organization in Oregon, Wisconsin.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Jason. We really appreciate being able to talk about the journey that has taken us to this point. 14 South Artists actually started like a lot of groups, very small, informal group of people, artists that got together, mostly from the Oregon area and along the Highway 14 corridor, which is where the name comes from. And it started as an informal association. And the actual event that they were most noted for was an annual art tour of artist studios. And that has been a big hit, and it's something that we've tried to continue. We really would like to keep that as our signature event. The artists like it, and people really like visiting people in the studio. So that was about 2004. In 2010, they formalized the organization. They actually filed for papers of corporation, and we became a nonprofit corporation. And this year we applied for tax exemption and we received that from the federal government. So we feel like we've continued on that journey of formalizing our relationships. It still remains relatively small. Currently, we have 36 juried artists, which means they have all of their art has been reviewed, and that allows them to participate in a variety of events, affairs, and there's reciprocity between organizations. The people who put on Agora, for example, have worked with us, so the artists that are juried in our organization don't have to go through the jury process for the Agora fair. So that's sort of the encapsulated history of the organization over what's it's now been about 18 years. And we have also expanded the mission as a result of that. So what started as a group that was really interested in sharing their art with other people, having an opportunity to educate the community about art and sell their art, has grown to really looking at the role of art in society and how it really does help build the health of the community, as well as the potential for economic development when you have events, as we are going to be having coming up, that brings people from outside the community into the Village of Oregon that wouldn't necessarily be visiting. So that expansion, I think, has been very exciting.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful to bring people together, you know, have some sort of commonality or some draw. And so you're right. I mean, art is something that a lot of people appreciate. So many people enjoy creating art as well. And so you're showcasing that, bringing people to the community. Tell us a little bit before we move on to some of the events coming up. Tell us a little bit about the Oregon Art Center itself, because I think the Oregon Art Center, it's such a unique building, right? And it's really cool.
It is. And that itself has gone through some evolution. So it started, many people may not know, it was built in 1899. It is the pump house for the water tower, which has become very famous in the Village of Oregon. And it is designed in something called a Tin Man design. So, of course, the association with the Wizard of Oz and the Tin Man. And it certainly has become the heart of the Village of Oregon, I have to say. And it was in disrepair, and a group of people got together, as oftentimes happen in small communities, and decided they wanted to restore the building, which they did. I think some of it was started in the 70s and completed maybe in the 80s. And it became the Oregon Welcome Center. And it had been the Oregon Welcome Center for a long time, but they were having a hard time staffing that. And so it was sitting empty, beautiful building, stone outside building. Inside, there are two rooms, really nice wood floors. It's a very intimate area for art. It's unusual in that many galleries you go to are very large. And you walk around and there's beautiful art in there. One of the advantages that we have in the center now, which we are referring to as the Oregon Art Center, is not only are you surrounded, it's very intense in terms of being surrounded by art, but you are in greater physical proximity to the artists as they are there as well. So the event that we have coming up, October 25th, is going to bring together the 22 artists that are currently displaying their art with members of the community. So it's very exciting. Last year, we actually held two pop-up events in the building. So we've had a chance to kind of do some dry runs. And I think we've had probably close to 50 people in that building at one time, which was pretty surprising to me that we could do that. And I think the nature of the conversation is different when you're in a smaller intimate setting than when you're in a very commodious hall that most people would think about as a gallery. So we're really feeling very privileged. And that came about because Randy Glish, who is the president of the Village Board, is also an artist, and he felt really bad about that building being open, but not being used. And so he offered us the use of that building last year. And as I mentioned, we had two events. And then this year, we were able to actually lease the building as a result of some grants that became available. And I want to make sure I get this right, so I'm just going to look over here and read this. One of our largest grantors was the Madison Regional Economic Partnership Grant. And that's allowing us and is paying for our lease of that building. And the whole point of that was to bring people back into particularly small towns where there were empty storefronts and have people come in and start a business. And so that's part of what we've done. And then because there really is a acknowledged potential for economic development within the arts, we received a grant also from the Village of Oregon Tourism Commission. So we feel very excited. I think that shows us the kind of support there is in the community and the leadership of the community to bring more art into the community, not just for the purposes of artists selling their art, but for, as you were mentioning, I think having the conversations with the community about what they see as the value of art in their life.
We're talking with Francine Tompkins, who's the president over at 14 South Artists, Inc. in Oregon, Wisconsin. Francine, you got a big event. It's happening now. It's today. And you have others coming up, too. But tell us about what people can expect and why they should come down to Oregon today.
Right. Well, I think a number of reasons. First and foremost is you're going to see some unique art. And you're going to have a chance to talk to the artists who are here, which oftentimes doesn't happen. We have a real variety. So we have, I think, what a lot of people would think is more of the traditional oil paintings, acrylic painting, watercolor painting, drawings, photography, and we have pottery. But we also have people who do felting, which was a very new art form for me to understand, to see. We have people who are using things in nature to build animals, what we might traditionally think of as folk art examples, birds, fish, and these are really one-of-a-kind pieces. Jewelry, I think if it can be created, it's in that room today.
That's fantastic. It sounds like an incredible assembly of artwork and local artists too. I know there's opportunities for membership, right, to join the group. Tell people quickly, we have just a little bit of time left to tell them about how they can get involved and connected.
Thank you. The easiest way is to check out our website, and that would be at 14southartists.com, all one word, or to check our public Facebook page, which would also be 14 South Artists. And on the website, you'll see a place to contact us if you're interested in knowing more about the organization or specifically about membership. And I'd just like to add, while most of our members are artists, we have also have art supporters. So people who want to be involved in advancing, I think, the value of art, but they themselves may not be producing art, but I'm sure they're creative.
That's Francine Tompkins, president over at 14 South Artists, Inc., the website 14southartists.com. And again, head down to Oregon today. How long can people stop by? Till 4 o'clock today?
Till about 4 o'clock, but if people keeps coming in, we'll just leave those doors open.
Francine, thanks for your time today telling us about 14 South Artists, Inc. and all the great work and culture you're bringing down to Oregon. We love it.
Thank you, Jason.
Head down to Oregon today. It's a beautiful building, like Francine was talking about. It's really exciting to visit and see, and art is alive and well. So go check it out. Head down to 14 South Artists. Again, right down Oregon, downtown. Great local shops down there, including friends Dan, Donahue, and the Chocolate Caper. And then, of course, as well, they own Kickback Cafe, Firefly, some great local businesses right downtown Oregon in the Village. We'll be back to talk with Megan Stern right after the break. Here now on the airwaves of 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, also here at devilradio927.com. You can check out the show. We are at the Solidarity Realty Studios and right on University Avenue. Beautiful place to be here. Even though it's a little bit of a rainy Saturday, still a beautiful place to be. So we're glad to continue on with the program. Again, check out Reach a Child. Check out 14 South Artists. Head down to the Village of Oregon today. There are other happenings as well going on with so many different local businesses and Dame by Local members that we wanted to bring Megan Stern on and talk with her about some of the activities of Dame by Local and how we can support so many of our local businesses and nonprofits. So, Megan, thanks for being on the program once again. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Let's talk a little bit. First off, Megan, so I just learned about 14 South Artists. They're a member of Dane by Local. Nice to talk with Francine and feature some of their activities. There's so many art shows going on right now, so people can, you know, look in at Dane by Local to find out more. They can connect with other resources. The newsletter DBL puts out features a lot of these things, so really important to get the word out about some of these activities locally here in our community.
Yeah, that's a great way of previewing it, because we do on our events calendar online and in our weekly newsletter, we do post about or list items like this. And yeah, they have a great conglomeration of artists through 14 South Artists. There's also just a new member to us is out of Paoli. They have a kind of an art network down there too. And so I'm excited that they're a new member of Dane by Local, because then we can start posting about their events and highlighting what they're doing. So that's exciting.
We also know there's so many different sales and things happening, and we're going to try to connect with more members here coming up as well in retail. People are trying to get more people to come out to their shops, and now's a great time to get out and explore the community. So I really encourage people on the show to, you know, visit neighboring communities, head downtown, go places you haven't been in a while, enjoy the ability to walk some of that, and just kind of explore and learn more about these local shops and what they bring and what they provide. A lot of times you can find some real hidden gems in so many of these local organizations and local businesses.
Absolutely. We just brought on another new member. I'm going to plug it right now because she's just getting started. She's only about a month and a half in. It's called A New Day Boutique on East Johnson and or West Johnson. And it's just a gorgeous store. I just hung a picture I bought there this week. Like you said, wonderful little finds as a local artist. She's mostly clothing, but also has a real neat variety of other things there, too. So you're right. You just, if you wander in and check these things out, you're going to find amazing, amazing little finds, because they're doing their passion. So they're finding the things that are really exciting to them, which aren't everywhere. You can't just get that anywhere. You can't just go to Walmart and get that one really interesting local artist image or, you know, clothing that is coming in the, where you know the source, you know who made it and where it's coming from. That's great.
I picked up a birthday card today for my nephew's birthday party and found one made by a Madison artist. So made right here in Madison,
yeah.
Wisconsin. You know, you can find stuff like that. Megan, when you're out walking around, exploring these communities and these shops and what they bring, you have to eat. So let's talk about some of our local restaurants. And there's an event coming up with Dane by Local that we need to tell people about.
Absolutely. This is one of the first jobs I did when I started at Dane by Local. And so I find it to be kind of an exciting thing, because I learned that was my first kind of getting to know Dane by Local, was Eat Local, Give Local. And that is coming up for us on Thursday, August 18th. It is really, we take 10% as a fundraiser for Dane by Local in the end. But that's all there is on Dane by Local's behalf. The goal of this whole event truly is to remind people to go out and go to local restaurants. And local would be not part of a big chain, or if it is part of a chain, it would be owned by a chain out of just Wisconsin alone, for example. And so we put together a list of participating businesses, and on Thursday, August 18th, you can just go down that list. You could do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and coffee, and drinks. You could go five different places, or you could just pick one location you've either always wanted to go to, or one that you would go to every week if anyway, so you might as well go that day. And that's a really great event just to really highlight local restaurants. And it's not just restaurants. It's also, we have some grocery stores in there. We have food vendors. We have, like, food trucks. We have beverage, like J. Henry did it last year. Like, stuff like that, where you're going to find more. If you're going to be drinking coffee that day, or if you're going to be having drinks that day, hopefully we'll have something on our list to cover that. Even catering businesses are on there. So it's a huge event for the community, less for Dane by Local and more for the community, because there's a lot of advertising that goes into it. We get to put our images on 9 different Metro bus transit events that'll run around town for the month of, you know, leading up to that. We have lots of publicity through all of our media partners, the Midwest Family, Capital Times, radio shows. It's just a really great highlight to all these local businesses. It gets their name out there with a pretty big force around Madison for just this, you know, month leading up to it, one day of sales. And it can be pretty exciting. And we also support the businesses by doing interviews with them prior to it and offering them things to put, posters to put up and table menu guides and stuff like that. So it's a really exciting event. And we are definitely looking for as many food and beverage businesses as would love to be involved. As long as you meet the criteria of being local, then we would love to have you on our list. And you will get all the benefit of all of our advertising.
So easy to sign up as well, too, right, Megan? I mean, you meet the criteria, yeah. You sign up, you can get involved. And again, you're doing 10% of the sales for the day to donation to Dane by Local, but you're getting all that additional recognition, exposure, the full support of the organization behind you to get the word out about your business and promoting to get people to come to you and learn more about you and hopefully fall in love with your restaurant and want to come back again and again after that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we put like $10,000 worth into advertising this event just to try and lift that. And this year more than any year, it's very, very needed for these restaurants and businesses. So you can go to our website, danebylocal.com. And on the very front homepage is a list of our upcoming events. And there's an Eat Local, Give Local, and there's a sign-up button. You just click that. It's a very simple Google form. It's about 4 questions or 5 questions. And that's it, and you're all signed up. And then we do the rest and bring everything to you.
Presenting sponsor for that is Isthmus Eye Care. So we thank them as well. But what a great event, and what a great time to go out and experience some new restaurants, support local restaurants. And then, like I said, hopefully become a regular customer after that. Another event, talking about food, Megan, and also this encompasses music and some outdoor ambiance, but it's Picnic by the Lake, which is back on Sunday evenings, right? And we've got one coming up this weekend,
yes,
with Ember Foods and Teddy Wedgers providing food.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see that back. We had just a really great, as they put in their sales pitch, it's from the people who created the Soups On program, and this is just a really good collaboration of businesses and people who really care about the community putting events together. And so, yeah, there is David Hecht is the musician this week. He's been around Madison for, I don't know, something like 30 years or more, I think. So he's well-known. He's a great entertainer. And then to have the food be Ember and Teddy Wedgers, two of our easily most, like, super endearing members. They are just the kindest people, and they make tremendous food. Ember makes just these samosas that are incredible. So it's a wonderful experience, I think, on those Sundays to go there and sit in the beautiful weather. And that'll be tomorrow. I think 4 to 7 tomorrow.
Yep, Sunday evenings, again, 4 to 7, like you said, right behind the East Side Club, right on the shores of Lake Monona. It's a beautiful setting for Picnic by the Lake. You can find out a whole bunch more about that, again, at danebylocal.com. So Eat Local, Give Local, Dane by Local. You can find out all about this stuff at danebylocal.com. How to sign up, how to participate in Eat Local, Give Local. And then grow that list, local restaurants, grow that list, so then all of these consumers and customers have even more options and opportunities. So a lot of great stuff happening here this summer with DBL. Megan, thanks for telling us more about it, and thanks for your time today. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
All right, that is it for this episode of Let's Get Local. We got Outside the Pizza Box coming up next. Happy to join you, and I'll be back next week.